become Prepping 2.0.
Prepping gets real.
It's like, this is real. And it really was sort of a wake-up call and a snap. We're not just sort of in the, you know, kind of we're planning for some event in the future. It really felt like it's here.
When disaster strikes, will you be prepared? This is Prepping 2.0 with authors and prepping experts Glenn Tate and Shelby Gallagher.
Online at prepping2-0.com.
Get ready. Prepping 2.0 coming in 3, 2, 1.
Hello, everyone. This is Shelby Gallagher over here at Prepping 2.0. Welcome. Glad to have you here with us today. I'm joined by my co-host on this show and as well as co-host in life, Glenn Tate. Hi, Glenn.
Hello. Good morning. We have a heck of a show. We always do, we think, and we're going to continue some of the stuff, same category of topics that we did with episode 99, which was the perspective of a teenager on the collapse. The reason I bring that up is, and I talked about this on our KHNC, 1360 AM in Colorado. I talked about this. Emotions are a legitimate thing. When it comes to prepping, I never want people, and I'm really talking to guys now, don't think that, you know, the only emotion that counts is like an AR-15. Don't be that, because emotions, everyone around you, including yourself, you show up with emotions. You need to factor in emotions. We're going to be put in a position very quickly now. We already are, but it'll be more pronounced in the next few weeks or months to make really important decisions. Life or death decisions. And if you don't understand that, number one, you've got emotions, and number two, the people around you, friend or foe, have emotions, you're at an extreme disadvantage. One of the reasons Prepping 2.0 doesn't just talk about 10 things to put in a bug out bag, because there's a million podcasts and videos and stuff, and you should watch them, is it's the next level. The 2.0 is the next level. Well, folks, the next level is, among other things, understanding the emotions. And when I say emotions, listen, I'm not the kind of guy that likes Dr. Phil's psychobabble. Let's talk about our feelings. That's not me. These are feelings worth talking about, okay? So that introduction is to say the actual name of the episode, which Shelby is telling me I should probably get to, is The Emotional Toll of Prepping and Relocating from Cities. We have two great guests who are living this right now, Jeff and DQ. And Shelby, you know a lot about Jeff and DQ, so why don't you tell folks a little bit about him?
Well, Jeff, we know. We've had him on our show before. In fact, recently, as someone who recently became a prepper and is doing the things, which we appreciate. He's a political journalist. He's been a past host. We love him. Recent prepper, a resident of Multnomah County, which in your mind, when you hear Multnomah County, Oregon, that's Portland. I mean, the
Antifaville.
Antifaville, right. And he's done extensive writing on the ground war. I call it the ground war. Others call it riots in Portland. And he's a writer for PJ Media. DQ is a resident of Marion County, Oregon, which is south of that. That's where a lot of the destructive fires just occurred in Oregon, like whole towns were burned out. She's a resident there, and she's a conservative, and she has seen up close and personal the political garbage happening in Oregon, and she's got her finger on the pulse of it, and she's a prepper herself. And I will say this for both of our guests, and I'll let them talk more about this. Both of them have a foot out the door. Both of them have an exit plan to get out of that awful place. So we'll talk more about that.
Yeah, if I may, I think that Jeff and DQ are a lot like a lot of you listening. You understand there's a problem. You've taken some preliminary steps. And as Shelby describes, you may have a foot out the door from a bad place like Portland. And you may be thinking about going places. So the reason I bring this up right up front and sort of underline it and underscore it is Jeff and DQ are a lot like you, mm-hmm. listener, and you're going to get a lot out of what they're going through. You might see some things, hear some things, I guess, that you're also going through, which is always, I don't want to sound like Dr. Phil, but validating. That's a legitimate thing. And they may come up with some thoughts or some concerns or whatever they may be that you hadn't thought of. And it's going to be very helpful. So I say again, if you're looking for, you know, 10 steps to freeze drying food, we got shows on that. And this ain't it. Because as we get closer to election day and the madness that will ensue, that has already started up, we're getting calibrated. We're doing the fine precision things. And those are things like the emotional things. The freeze drying of food probably happened a year or two ago, or the collecting of food, canned food, whatever it may be. All those material preps have probably happened. And now we're getting down to
mindset.
It's all about mindset. So didn't mean to hijack your introduction. So please continue, my dear.
No, but I think it's a good foundation for what we're going to talk about. But what I think is interesting, we always, this is going to seem kind of mundane, but I think it's good to talk about. We talk about every week, the top 100 things that go fastest in a crisis and a collapse. You can find this list. We did not compile it. It's on our website at prepping2-0.com in the lower right-hand corner. We are up to number 82. And what? I have to say, I'm going to say a quick, like, oops on our part. The last 2 weeks, we did the same one. We did number 81 twice in a row, which makes it that much more important.
Yeah, because it was double good.
It was really important.
Yeah.
So number 82, again, this list has this collapse has unfolded over the last year, is a shopping list. And this is a good one. Number 82 is food storage products, Mylar bags, buckets, vacuum seal bags, pouches, and freeze-dried food. Check, 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 and check.
Glenn. Shelby, tell folks how we, okay, first of all, we hate the environment. We clearly do. We don't like recycling at all. We think it's a communist plot to steal our brains. So how do we recycle vacuum seal bags? And this underscore why this is a good idea to have these things. Take it, Shelby.
Well, we use vacuum seal bags for everything. We use them all the time. We pack things in those bags, and then we pack those bags into an airtight black tub so that it is against whatever's in the bag is protected against air and against light. So every now and then, though, like we'll open one up and we'll use it. There's a bunch of dehydrated food that we used.
It was getting a little old. It was for chickens. Mm-hmm. It was vegetables. Yes.
It was vegetables. They were probably still good, but we didn't want to test that theory. So our chickens have enjoyed some really good dehydrated food. But there's now we have all these vacuum sealed bags that have been used.
And they're things that contain things like dehydrated vegetables as opposed to, I don't know, raw pork.
Yeah.
Right. So there's not a sanitary concern by using them again.
So we have this kind of wrinkled, beat up bag a little bit because it's been whatever. So we use that. We either reuse it again on something like that's not food related, like matches or clothing, or and the this case this week, these noodles that we were doing that had sharp edges on them. So we put we double seal them so mm-hmm. that the noodles don't cut the bags, which they can do. So yeah, we don't throw those away. And not only that, if you've seen the price of them, ka-ching, ka-ching, don't throw them away. I don't care. Yeah. I don't care. After I found out all the political back door stuff regarding recycling, I don't recycle anymore. So anyway. Okay.
Exactly. Sponsor time.
Yes.
Let's talk about sponsors. Well, first of all, go to prepping2-0.com. and click on the Friends and Affiliates tab for links and coupon codes for all of our sponsors we're going to talk about. First, EMP Shield. Second, New Mana, freeze-dried food. Third, Backwoods Home, which is a great magazine and reference piece. And, Shelby, what are you all jacked up on right now?
Minutemen Coffee.
Yes, you are.
I just talked to our sponsor this last week, and I said, no, seriously, I am an addict. It's true.
Yeah.
I don't just joke about it. It's true. I'm a coffee addict.
Yeah.
It's a problem.
We love it.
Not a problem for me, but
Minuteman Coffee. Here's a cool thing. They have, is this just good coffee? Well, yeah, there's that. Here's what's extra cool. The I Miss America blend. I Miss America blend of coffee. You can go on their website. You can go on our website. We have I Miss America coffee mugs that come with a little quarter pound sample of the I Miss America blend. Super cool. You're going to try some of this. And you're going to drink it, you know, maybe on the weekends, treat yourself, whatever. I mean, we talk about breaking the habit of grocery store coffee, and we are breaking the habit of grocery store coffee. And yes, thanks a lot, Minuteman Coffee, for making my wife a speed addict.
Well,
thanks
and let me add this too, just a real quick mention. We're not going to do this a whole lot. We have a new coupon code over there too for Pretty Loaded, which offers online self-defense training. So it's online based. You don't have to go to a class, and they've given us a new coupon code over there. So you can get a discount on online self-defense training. Really great folks over there at Pretty Loaded. So,
and that's all at prepping2-0.com. Patreon supporters. We love your Patreon supporters. It's what keeps this show on the air. We are now moving into our second studio. The reason the landlord lady at the first studio is insane, like medicatedly crazy insane.
I don't know if she's medicated. That might be the problem.
That could be the problem. She wouldn't let us install internet And that's kind of important when you're doing a podcast and a radio show. So we found a new studio, we rented it, and we are getting internet and stuff. This will be the last recording here. Episode 101 will be the last recording in Crazy Lady Studio, as we call it. And so how do we pay for internet and rented studios and stuff like that? With Patreon money. It's mm-hmm. it's what keeps it going. Starts at $2 a month, pretty affordable. You get exclusive access to the after show, which some of you patrons will be hearing today. And you get to ask us some questions, ask our guest questions. We send out free merch twice a year. So you can go to prepping2-0.com, click on the Patreon logo to join.
Lurkers,
come out of the shadows. We have a Lurkers special now. What we're going to do, and Lurkers are people who listen to the regular show, whether on the radio or YouTube or iTunes or Spotify or Stitcher or Podbean, whatever. They listen and they're like, wow, I really dig the show and I'd love to hear what's in the after show, but $2 a month is too much of a stumbling block for me. Well, you're a lurker and we implore you, we welcome you, come out of the shadows, lurkers, and become a patron. So here's what we're going to do. We've had a lot of lurkers contact us and say, I was a lurker and I'm really glad I now have the after show. So if you're a lurker, join on Patreon, mention the way, prepping2-0.com, and then send an email to glenntate123@gmail.com. It's on our website. You can find how to email us.
Actually, it's not.
Oh, it's not? Okay. glenntate123@gmail.com and put in the subject line the word lurkers. That's how I'll know to find them, because I get like 100 emails a day, for real. And so what we'll do is we'll mail you a fun little package, couple little thank you prizes. They're stickers. They're cool stickers. And I think you're going to like them. So we wanted to encourage lurkers to come out of the shadows. We want to kick you a couple cool stickers and say thank you very much.
Well, I think you went over it because too quickly, but be sure to put your address in that email.
Oh, yes. Thank you. Just send an email.
If you want us to send you stickers, we need your address. It's
sure.
A thing.
I mean, we're kind of clairvoyant. I mean, Shelby did get the Nostradamus Award in episode 98
like
for predicting
everyone,
the future.
All my fans.
I gave her the award, so it's not like a real thing. It's kind of like the Nobel Peace
it's
Prize.
Real
it
to
doesn't
me.
Even count anymore. When Obama gets it, and he bombs Syria, then obviously the Peace Prize doesn't mean anything. So, yes. So send an email, glenntate123@gmail.com with the word lurkers in the subject line. And two things. We need your name, because if you have a P.O. box, trust me, we know postal regulations like inside and out now, because we send out so much free merch to Patreons. And so your name, your real name, and then
your address.
And it might take us a week or two, to be honest, because
we're busy.
We like have day jobs and stuff like that and a bunch of other things. But anyway, lurkers, please join and please get some free cool stuff. And we really appreciate it. And thank you very much.
So the other thing that we want to discuss really quick, and it's been kind of fun recently, is the dollar store score. We have not had the chance recently to go to the dollar store, but some of our fans have. And one of our fans let us know and sent us a picture that he went to the dollar store and stocked up on tarps.
Tarps for a dollar? Oh, I blew it. Shelby, what do tarps cost at the dollar store?
A dollar.
Wow.
So
the Dollar Tree, the Dollar Schmaller, the Dollar Dig Doggly Dooglers. They go by a variety of names.
Yes, they do.
Have the word dollar in them.
So especially when you think about number 81 on the top 100 list, it's tarps and sheeting and all those plastic products that you'll need when there's a collapse.
Now, I know what you're thinking out there. You're like, a tarp for a dollar? Really? How long is that going to last?
Not very long, but
not very
okay.
long. But you know what? That's pretty good. You can use them for wrapping up bodies. That's always good.
Honey.
Duct tape.
Stop.
They have duct tape there too.
Yes, they do.
And so that's cool. You can use it for that. So there are a million things. Kind of disposable tarps. But let's be honest. A lot of tarps are kind of disposable because you wrap them around something in your truck, you drive 100 miles, and the thing is frayed. So anyway.
So why spend $40 when you spend a dollar?
Exactly.
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 So the next cool thing that we want to talk about is how to grow the Prepping 2.0 universe. And we appreciate all of you who do this. So I encourage you, we ask you nicely, however you listen to us, whether it be on Stitcher, Spotify, iTunes, YouTube even, share it. Please share it. Share it with your friends and family. Share it on your social media outlets and like it. Like, do the little thumbs up-y thing. Do the little five star. Give the little review. Any of those things. It helps drive the algorithms that make us popular. And it helps kind of combat against the suppression that many of the social media outlets are doing even more so these days. So we appreciate it if you can take the time to do that and share it with your friends and family. And many of you have. We get a lot of people saying, I shared this episode and now this person's going and listening, going back and listening to older episodes. So thank you so much for all of you who are doing that.
It's all about the algorithms. And then coming up, we're going to record this November 5th and it'll be out probably mid-November. So this
November 5th?
Yes. And this is coming up quite a ways in the future, but it's so cool. I wanted to tell you guys, we are going to be guests on a legit show. Like, it's Emergency Management Weekly. It's a trade journal and podcast and YouTube channel and sort of, I don't know, trade association journal for professional emergency managers. And they reached out to us and said, you guys have predicted a bunch of stuff and we'd like to have you on the show. And so we are going legit. We're going mainstream. Emergency Management Weekly. It'll be out in about mid-November. And I'm just really happy about it because this is great because it's not like an ego thing. We're being taken seriously because we have a track record of predicting how this country is collapsing. And Emergency Management Weekly, not exactly right-wing wackos. They're a bunch of state, local, and probably federal emergency managers that don't buy into craziness and emotion. So I'm very, very happy about that.
I am too. And when we've had conversations about this, when you think about when this collapse really gets spicy, who you need to rely on those who are local. And we've talked about the local EOCs, the emergency operation communications centers and all of that. So it's good to check those places out now. So it'll be good. That'll be a good interview. So let's get into it. We have our guests waiting so patiently, so nicely on the phone. And I want to start with DQ. And I'll let her talk about herself a little bit, but I want to start her off with a question. And feel free to tell us more about yourself, DQ. After all you've witnessed in the last, you know, few months with the fires in Oregon, kind of nipping at your back door, and what you've seen up close and personal, do you feel prepared?
That's a really good question. And I would say the short answer is not really, even though I have been doing this for quite a while. You classified me as sort of a new prepper. I think I've been kind of actively off and on doing this since about 2012. But it's taken on a whole new flavor. And you want to talk about spiciness. It's taken on, the fires really brought it. It's like, this is real. And it really was sort of a wake-up call and a snap. We're not just sort of in the, we're planning for some event in the future. It really felt like it's here.
Yeah. So now let me, just so that people can get an idea, you're in Marion County, and I'll let you decide however, you know, I don't want to give away your information, but were you on, I think Marion County, if I recall, almost everybody was on some level of evacuation. Were you in that, were you on at an evacuation level at any point?
I was not. We were far enough away where there was sort of topography and things between where I am and where the fires were that we never really reached that level. So we never did go on. But I have to tell you, when I woke up that Tuesday morning after Labor Day and looked out my window, and it was 8:30 in the morning and it looked like 2:00 in the morning with the blood red skies, that kind of, not to make it a funny pun about it, but it does kind of light a fire under you. It makes it very, very real. The choking smoke did get down here. We were actually personally in our own home at a ready set mode. We were ready to go. And I went to bed one or two of those nights in there as things started getting a little bit closer. It felt to me that we were prepared to jet out of here at a moment's notice. And again, I have, being down here in Marion County, many, many friends who lost everything.
Yeah.
And the devastation of that and being that close and that personal to it, it really, really highlights it and it makes it very, very real and tangible.
Wow. So now, and this brings up the next question I have for you. When you say we, there's more than one person in your household. There, you have a spouse. And with what you've just described, you know, blood red skies, you know, the news, you know, alerts going off, phones going off, you know, the news has read all over it. Fires, fires, fires. How does your spouse feel about all of this?
And he's the Dairy King.
He's the Dairy King.
You're DQ and he's the Dairy King.
I knew that was coming. it's interesting. We're a little bit on different pages. He's actually a professional at risk management, and he has a different way. And I have to say, you know, this entire episode, we're talking about the emotions on it. I tend to be a little bit more of the emotional side of our partnership. He's the more calm, cool, and collected. And sometimes that can drive me crazy, thinking that he's not taking the threat seriously. And it's funny, and sort of in preparation for today, we had a very, very long, rather animated discussion about it last night. And I got a better sense of how he sort of views the threats and how he assesses them. So I think it's really good if you can, you know, to have that mix of approaches to it, where I sometimes need to be talked off a ledge, but I'm also the one who gets out there and energizes and gets stuff done. And then he's the one who will look at things more calmly and collectively and say, let's assess the risk. And so between the two of us, during that time when the fires were going, we were close, we were ready, we were prepared. We never did quite pull the trigger because it didn't get to that level. So I don't know if it had just been me, if I would have been, you know, on the road 2 days before. So there's a balance in there. And I think a lot of the trick and the key is to know when it tips.
Yeah.
And so for us that week, it didn't tip where we felt like we needed to get out of Dodge.
So that brings up a good point. And we have about 3 minutes. And yes, we do have another guest, and don't, we won't forget about him. But you'd bring up two things. One, the fear and controlling yourself and controlling your emotions. And we'll talk about that here in a second. But I think you bring up a really good thing that, do you feel like, because we're going to have this discussion, I think, a little bit more, too, as we have this conversation, is do you feel like you and your spouse are on the same page in terms of preparedness? Like, in other words, you don't have, in other words, your spouse is not like, no, prepping is for crazy people, right? I don't think he's there. But do you feel like you're on the same page, but you just look at it differently?
Yes. He's not one that thinks it's crazy. He's been along. I'm probably at a higher level, more higher level of it, where I feel more of a sense of urgency, where he is a little bit more relaxed on it. But again, his metric is different than mine. But I think when it comes right down to it, preparing and putting things together and putting plans in place, that we are generally on the same page. That's a comfort. And I know that many don't have that, where you're looked at as the crazy, oh, let just her go off and, you know, do her Amazon binge buys on laundry soap and washboards. So we don't have that. But I know a lot of people who do, and I know that can be really, really difficult when you feel like you're in it alone.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Shelby and I have lived this, yes.
And I think that adds to the fear. So talk about that. And again, we only have, sorry to do this to you, you're going to have to answer a big question with about a minute left. Fear. I mean, I want people to kind of, if you can, as much as you can, as eloquently as you can, because you're an eloquent person, in 1 minute, what is the fear like when you see this happening and you have to find a way to control yourself and to think rationally when you have fear, kind of, you know, you have a fire coming over a mountain and it could come to you. What do you think?
I think real quick, it's not running the what if scenarios. I think it's having enough of a plan in place that's sort of muscle memory. And so you're not what if-ing it. You don't want to be guessing at that time. And I struggle with that because the normalcy bias comes in, I think, for everybody. And so having that, at least some semblance of a plan, even if it's just a basic plan in place, can calm and quell that fear, where otherwise you could spiral quickly.
Ooh, well said. So don't go away, folks. This is, we are just getting started. We have some other perspective to bring in and some conversation to continue here at Prepping 2.0. The emotional
toll
of a collapse, and especially when it's nipping at your back door. Stay tuned.
More Prepping 2.0 with authors Glenn Tate and Shelby Gallagher is coming right up. Hear all our previous shows free online at prepping2-0.com.
Shelby Gallagher here. We found that you need to layer your food preps.
Yeah, this is Glenn Tate here. A lot of times the hardest part of layering is the long-term foods. We love Numana foods, which have a 25-year shelf life and are non-GMO. Also, organic meals are available.
Numana comes in family-style portions and in bulk. This is not backpacking food. It's family meals that last for at least 25 years, the perfect freeze-dried part of your food layering.
You can get a sample of Numana meals for $19.95 and see for yourself. You will be amazed.
Prepping 2.0 listeners get a 10% discount by entering the code PREP.
Go to numana.com or click the link on the Prepping 2.0 website.
Give it a try. Numana.com. That is N-U-M-A-N-N-A.com.
When the grid goes down, darkness will descend fast. Used to be there was nothing you could do about an EMP, electromagnetic pulse, or CME, coronal mass ejection. Now you can protect your electronics, protect your family, thanks to EMP Shield. EMP Shield invented a simple-to-install device that prevents whatever's connected to it from frying in an EMP or CME, and it costs just a few $100s. EMP Shield has been tested by independent laboratories and passed muster with the government, which has ordered lots of them. Google EMP Shield and see for yourself. And save some money. Get a $50 discount per device. Go to prepping2-0.com. Click on the Friends and Affiliates page, then click on the EMP Shield logo. At checkout, use coupon code prepping2.0. It's all one word.
PrepperNet, where preppers unite. Looking to meet other like-minded people in your area? Looking to start your own prepper group? Already have a group? Join PrepperNet.com. PrepperNet has gathered the biggest names in the industry to help unite preppers everywhere. Join John Jacob Schmidt, Scott Hunt, Dr. Bones and Nurse Amy, Glenn Tate, Shelby Gallagher, Charlie Hogwood, Samuel Culper, Survivor Jane, Rick Austin, Franklin Horton, Ryan Mitchell, and Brian Duff. Our team is united. Check us out at PrepperNet. PrepperNet, where preppers unite. PrepperNet.com.
Now, more of Prepping 2.0 with authors Glenn Tate and Shelby Gallagher.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Shelby Gallagher over at Prepping 2.0. This is going to get really meaty. We're going to get even meatier, I should say. Mm-hmm. Meatier like...
Like
chicken and beef, not like things flying out of the sky. See what I did there?
Oh, I get it.
It's a play on words. Mm-hmm. We do that a lot over here at Prepping 2.0. So
we sure do.
Our other guest, and we're going to kind of bring everyone all together here once we kind of get a second perspective here, Jeff Reynolds. He's, like I said, a good friend of ours. He's been on the show before. He's a political journalist.
A conservative in Portland, which means he's got a million things to worry about.
Yeah, he does. Oh, my gosh. And not only that, written extensively on the ground war and the riot, what I call the ground war, others call the riots in Portland and the Portland. So one thing we wanted to ask Jeff has gone through kind of this emotional evolution as this is all unfolded. He describes it as a giant funk. So, Jeff, what has that been like?
Yeah, you know, and thanks again for having me on. This is a great show, and DQ and I are kind of in similar places here, I think, after having spoken with her about these issues. And for me, it's been a real evolution of, you know, we had the shutdowns in March over COVID. My kids' lives were thrown into complete disarray and chaos. And that was more so than my life, because frankly, I work from home and I've never been busier, and my wife is in an essential job. So her routine hasn't been disrupted, but the emotional toll of watching my children's lives being completely disrupted and they're losing out on experiences that they will never be able to have again. You know, that kind of stuff really threw me for a loop. And, you know, the message I really want to get out about that is take care of yourself. You know, notice these things. When you're in this kind of a psychiatric funk, you know, I was at a point where I couldn't control my emotions, and I had about a month-long anxiety attack just because, you know, it's 2020. Look at all the crap that's happened in 2020, you know? Mm-hmm. It's just too much to process, right? So, you know, I went and actually got medical help on it from my general practitioner, because I needed to be able to... I recognized that I had a problem. I recognized that I was not able to control everything that was going on, and so I needed professional help to do that. And so... And today is the first day in 6 months, or yesterday actually was the first day that I didn't actually feel like I was in that funk and, you know, just this fuzziness, this fog, you know? So it took that long to really recognize what was going on and to fix it. And what it's all about is the fact that we're not going back to normal. That realization is... You know, that's something that you can't ignore, and you can't just stuff it in a box. You have to deal with.
And that, to me, is like the big, you know, to borrow from Alanis Morissette, the big jagged pill, the hard pill to swallow is this is a collapse because we can't go back to, you know, October 2019. We can't go back to what, and when you listen to shows that we recorded back then, I call that right now in pristine conditions. Well, the pristine conditions are gone. They're being, and I think you hit on it, they're being eroded away, never to return. So there's loss. There's grief. There's, oh my God, we're on a trajectory here that cannot be undone. And so I'm so glad you said that. And so let me ask you this, though, Jeff, how does your, you know, you've given us a little bit on this. How does your family feel about this and your spouse in particular? Because I want to bring in the spouses into
this.
It's
huge.
It's huge because that can have a positive or sadly a detrimental effect. And so where are you at with that?
Well, I think when you're dealing with a collapse, whether it's a partial collapse or a total collapse or just rolling shortages or a fire emergency or whatever the situation is that you're preparing for, it's important to have team. And we've talked about tribe before, you know, people that you can rely on. And the very first thing, the very first members of the team have to be the family.
Yep.
And you all have to be on the same page. And, you know, I started doing some light prepping back in 2017 with the Eagle Creek fire and, you know, the bug out orders that were coming as close as Troutdale to my house. And, you know, I didn't really take it seriously until this year. And then I put it into overdrive. And at first, you know, everybody thought I was crazy, just flat out, you know, my son and daughter and my wife, you know, I'd always make the joke that every time I read the news, I buy $100 more of groceries, you know. I'd play it up and I'd joke with them to, you know, keep it light and keep it so that they're not in panic mode. You know, I'd joke about, well, you know, the zombies are coming, so we got to get prepared, you know. So, but now that we've done this for a little while and we see, I think DQ said it, the fires really put it into focus. And everybody's on the same page now. It's like, okay, you know, if something happens, we have to have a plan. And if you have that plan, that's how you're going to get over the emotional toll of it and be able to function.
You know, and you bring up a really good point about the fires. Both you, Jeff, and DQ brought it up. We have a team member whose wife was cool and on board and all of that other stuff, but it really hit home. Up here in Western Washington, they were very close. I think they actually did get an evacuation order off the top of my head. Yeah, they did.
For like a day, yeah.
Yeah. And that's when stuff got real. And it's very interesting that this is going to sound weird, guys, but we've been blessed with having that kind of threat, an undeniable threat that nobody's going to say, oh, you're crazy for not taking an evacuation order seriously when, for example, it looks like nighttime during the day because of all the fire and the smoke. So we've been given this, and it's really kicked a lot of people into gear. I suspect a lot of our listeners right now, at least in the Western states, got kicked into gear. And so it was terrible what happened, all those people that got burned, but I'm kind of grateful. We're hearing lots of stories like yours, Jeff and DQ. It was like, these fires, I've been thinking about prepping. I've been thinking about an eventual plan, but boy, these fires really kicked me into gear.
Well, and if I can add this too, I'm so thankful that both of you escaped. And from what I can tell, you guys weren't, you know, you weren't evacuated or anything like that. But I think about those that have had the losses. I think about a fan on Facebook. He has lost his home of 42 years that he had prepped. It was his homestead and it got burned to the ground and he can't stop crying tears of loss on social media. And my heart just wrenches for him. So I want to say this in recognition of those folks who have lost so much this year, jobs, they've lost their entire home that they've worked their entire life for. Their collapse is
now
here and now. So, want to give them a little bit of a, you know, recognition. We are, those of us in this conversation are lucky. So thank you, Jeff, for that. And let me ask you this. You've kind of hinted at it and sounds like you're there. It sounds like your spouse is on board and has gotten, gotten to the, in other words, you're similar to kind of where DQ is. You both have spouses that are on board. And I think this is important to bring out, and I'm so glad it's happening, because we've had the, we've been in the positions where we have a spouse that's not on board, and that is, adds a whole huge layer of stress in and of itself. So tell us about your situation.
Yeah, and you kind of wrote about it in your books, right?
Yes.
So
yeah.
That's a pretty common situation. And, you know, for me, it was a situation where, I started worrying about civil unrest and other stuff. And, you know, that normalcy bias kicked in, and I was, I was the one that was really worried about this stuff, and nobody else was really paying attention. But I think I've made my point, and I think people have really gotten it, you know. But there's just so much that, that's happened this year, you know. We've lost so much. You mentioned it, and it's one of those. I have always prided myself on being able to be cool and collected. I learned in Boy Scouts early on about, you know, not panicking in a crisis situation and emergency preparedness and all that stuff. And so when I started losing control of my emotions, it really surprised me. You know, it really set me back on my heels. And I recognized right away that this is not normal for me. So that's why I went and got it treated. But you know, it in a crisis situation, the last thing you want to do is panic. So that's why you really have to monitor yourself and make sure you're still in the mode that you need to be in to execute the plan. And when you have a plan, the family is a lot less likely to panic as well.
Awesome. 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 So one thing I wanted to ask both of you, first of all, you two know each other, and you have had prepping discussions together. I know that, and you had mentioned off air, Jeff, and people love this, and I know I do too. You have had conversations with a new prepper, and kind of where they're. And if I were a new prepper right now, I'd be scared to death, because if I'm new, that means I don't have a plan, I don't have any supplies, I don't have an idea, but I do have a pretty good idea that I'm not prepared. And I'm laughing at it, but I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't imagine. You have to laugh about it at this point, because it's scary. So tell us about that conversation and how you're kind of encouraging this person, this family.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I've had this conversation with literally dozens of my friends. Everybody's calling me like people, you know, high up in the political scene in Oregon, like, oh my God, I can't believe this is actually happening, you know? And they're talking about bugging out. They're talking about, leaving the state altogether. And these are people that are, you know, high up in, at least in conservative circles, you know? So there's a lot of that going on right now. People are really, really on edge with everything that's gone on in 2020. And DQ and I actually, met with a friend of ours who had never done any prepping at all. And, you know, I've been kind of peppering her with, hey, you know, get ready. There's shortages coming, you know, Dan, the food CEO, I passed on those episodes to her, you know, and all of those things about the shortages that are coming and everything else that's coming down. So, she finally, you know, sort of snapped a little. And I think you can actually describe that a little bit better.
Yeah, well, it was kind of a deer in the headlights when we were talking with her, and she had invited some other friends over, and I think sort of the magnitude and the scope really kind of overwhelmed her a little bit, and we had to kind of, you know, sort of you got to take one bite at a time. Mm-hmm. And I think she is indicative of where a lot of people are right now. And Jeff was just talking about losing control of your emotions, and I just kind of wanted to backtrack to that a little bit. I've been dealing with that too. I mean, you can be as prepared in the world, but I've felt like I've been in a long, slow state of mourning, mm-hmm. because we're mourning a way of life that is just gone.
I miss
and
America.
I had to seek help and get counseling. And so you've got a new prepper who's being overwhelmed with this. So, when you're having those conversations and taking care, really take care, because even for those of us that have been at it for a while, I'm in counseling because I needed talk therapy to work through a lot of this. This is hard. So I commend her. And, you know, when Jeff and I were over there, she was asking a lot of good questions. She was shaking, physically shaking, because the fear and, you know, that sense of being overwhelmed by it is very, very real.
You know, this collapse and the preparations for it and then how it's going to play out. And by the way, last week we had Sean Swanson, former special operations guy, private military contractor, who articulated how nasty and horrible it's going to be.
And to get your head wrapped around it.
Get your head wrapped around it. And yeah. Now when you are well rested, you're not hungry and you're not terrorized, now's the time to make decisions. Nobody ever said, hey, I'm thinking about asking this person to marry me. What I'm going to do is stay up for 4 days in a row, be terrified of gangs killing me, and not eat anything. That seems like a really great time to make an important life decision. So my point is this, what we're doing now, and especially what we're going to endure in the future, is the biggest thing that's ever happened in all of our lives. And it needs that kind of respect and dignity of dealing with it as such.
Well, and what I appreciate, and I definitely want to hear more about this conversation with a new prepper, think about what I'm hearing you guys say, and I think we've said it in our last few episodes with Sean Swanson and two episodes ago with my son. We're preppers. And we're tripping up a little bit, right?
Because we have all kinds of finishing touches to do and things to get done. It's all we do all the time.
And you and I have had a few like, oh my gosh, well, this is really happening moments, and it kind of overwhelms us. I know for Joel, he's had a few of those moments. You, Jeff and DQ have had those moments, and we've been doing this for a long time.
We've been thinking about this for 10 years. We have written things that predicted these things in quite significant detail, and we are reacting and
having emotions.
So it's cool. It happens.
And mourning, honestly, and mourning. So imagine being a new prepper listening to, so new preppers out there, it's okay. And I think DQ said it really well. How do you conquer this? One bite at a time, one trip to the grocery store at a time. Every day, do something that helps you prep. That would be my advice, but Glenn has something too.
And I'll add to this. And so I just got done saying this is going to be the most horrible thing that we've all ever gone through. And now here's the positive part, because there are positive parts to this. And that is this. If you're listening right now, you've got the number one thing you need, which is mental preparation. You may not be prepared for all the bad things, but you get that life will not be, quote, normal. And that sounds like a trifling matter. It is by no means a trifling matter. It is an incredibly important thing. If you don't understand there's something to prepare for, you're never going to prepare. And then when it happens, you're going to freak out and wonder how this happened. And your mind is going to be stuck in this loop of how did this happen? How did this happen? No, it needs to be stuck in the framework of how am I getting around this gang checkpoint? Okay, so there's that. But here's the positive news. If you're listening to this, as I say, you're already squared away in the sense of you've got 90% of it down, which is understanding there's a problem. All mindset. Here's the thing. Little things you do now are going to have big, huge benefits. It's like compounding interest. I just realized this. You know, an extra $100 a month on your mortgage, like knocks, you know, whatever it is, six years off of a 30-year mortgage. I'm making these numbers up, but you guys know what I'm saying. Prepping is compounding interest. You do $100 a month of food storage now, even though things are going to really kick off in earnest in a couple of weeks, you're still way ahead of the curve. And so keep that in mind. It is doable, and you don't have a choice. When I say doable, I don't know if there's a word in English for this, but I'll go ahead and try. You got to do it. How about that?
At this point, there's no choices. Yeah. So awesome. I appreciate that. So let me ask you guys this, and we've hinted at this on other shows, and I know both of you have an exit plan for Oregon. And the reason being because of all this unrest, because of specifically, I know the political unrest, because of the governor's lockdown, COVID lockdowns that for when the numbers show that Oregon's not the hotspot that she'd like to think it is. So I want people to hear the gravity of that. We heard Dan, the food executive, talk about his best numbers tell him that 20% of the population is moving.
In some stage of moving. Planning or something like that.
You guys are part of that 20%, obviously. I will say this. I know I have talked to so many people in the last 2 months that are, that if they're not moving, they're going to be very soon. So talk to us about that a little bit, and I'll let you guys let's go to DQ first. What, tell us about that and how, where you're at in that plan.
It's funny. Your book actually spurred me to do one piece of this, which is purchase property in another state.
Yay.
And so we did that a year and a half ago, I think, and have been kind of slowly moving in that direction, getting it ready to go. It's off grid. And then, you know, we live in an older home. And once we decided, we simply cannot live here in this state. It's politically not where we want to be. All the draconian taxes and every legislative session, it's like, hold my breath. How much more is my pocket going to be picked? So it's been trying to, you know, slowly get the house ready for market where we're currently living at. I'm sitting where I'm sitting right now has recently been remodeled. It's just, again, and you can get a little overwhelmed with it because there's a lot of moving pieces to it. But, we're definitely on an exit plan and an exit strategy. And, you know, I don't know whether it's going to be sort of, revved up or zhuzhed up for us based on what's coming down the pike, civil unrest wise or anything else. So we had kind of have to pivot maybe. But we are definitely solidly in that camp of that 20%, no doubt about it.
Well, and I will say this,
I am too.
Yeah, go ahead, Jeff. Go ahead.
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. But I'm definitely in that mode as well because we had always had a plan that when the kids are out of school, we're gonna buy a piece of property, get some animals, and just sort of live a homestead style of life. You know, just a simpler life. And those plans have definitely accelerated. But also, I have, because of the civil unrest in Oregon and the fires, I have now made sure that I have bug out locations. I don't own property in a different state, but I've talked to friends who are on the same wavelength with me about the situation and prepping and all that. And I've made sure that I have about a dozen locations across the United States where I could bug out if I have to. And it's really important because especially as a political journalist, I've got a target on me, and DQ and her husband have targets on them too. So, that's a real consideration.
Yeah. And do you guys want to, it's one of those things. Do you want to talk about the target on your head so that you can amplify the target on your head? Or when we hear about this, and I'll say this, doxing, we talked about that. Glenn and I have been doxed. People know where we live. Why is that such a big deal? I will say this, in the last few weeks too, watching what's happening with the Supreme Court justice decision. This is a national example. Lindsey Graham's home in Washington, D.C. was, you know, visited by, by rioters who stood out in front of his house yelling the addresses of other Republican conservative types. That's doxing. Because what's going to happen is now that house is going to get visited. And when we say visited, it's not just they're outdoors screaming. A lot of times they're throwing things at a home. They're shining lasers through windows.
Hey, look what happened with Steve Scalise, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Steve Scalise got shot at a freaking baseball game at 6:30 in the morning because people have lost their minds over political issues.
So, yeah. So when people know who you are and where you live and all that information, it becomes very dangerous. And it adds one more layer to the, if I have to bug out because of this, so I will say that if you're a conservative, if you are on the side of, you know, even if you're just slightly right of center, you need to consider that because that is an absolute, method that is a part of the playbook of the left is to make it so that you're so afraid that you will stop the action that they don't like.
And you'll move out of their territory.
Exactly.
Look up the Cultural Revolution in China. Way too big of a topic to just kind of launch into a couple minutes before the regular show is over. But look at what they did. It's ethnic cleansing. It's more like ideological cleansing. And they started off by just making it socially, politically, economically intolerable and unthinkable to live in certain areas. And they got rid of all the people they didn't want that way. And they didn't even have to kill them all. That came later because that's what communism is. So anyway, a few more minutes. Go ahead and touch on that, guys.
Yeah. So what is there anything else? What I also want to kind of highlight that Jeff has said, and I appreciate this. Jeff and DQ are tribe. They're partners. I will say this, Jeff and probably DQ now is kind of a contact within our tribe, that sort of thing. We all know each other. We're all conservatives. We're all preppers. But I appreciate how Jeff is kind of proselytizing. You know what I mean? He's sharing the gospel of prepping and trying to get others on board to create tribes. So we only have about 2 minutes, Jeff, and we can take this to delve into it more in the after show. Tell us about how that's going, because people are so afraid of, ooh, I don't want them to know how many beans I have. I'm beyond that. It's, if you're not a prepper at this point after watching the headlines, you're a lost cause. But go ahead.
Yeah, I was thinking about this the other day. I started calling myself Johnny Prepper Seed.
Yeah.
I've talked to so many people about this, you know. It's just ridiculous. And everybody's got the same questions and the same fears and the same, oh my God, America is not the same. And how did this happen? And, you know, I miss America.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody is coming to the same realization at the same time for the same reason. And everybody, more and more people realize that we are not going back to normal. And I'm building my tribe. And I've had that frank conversation with a lot of folks, including the woman that DQ and I met with about joining a tribe and bringing value to that tribe, and not just, you know, oh my God, I don't have any idea what to do in a collapse. Can I come stay with you guys?
It's not a plan.
No, you actually have to have something of value to bring to the tribe.
So I'm going to stop you. I'm going to stop you right there,
help
Jeff.
Help us all survive.
It's the tyranny of the heartbreaks for the radio show. Join us, Patreons, in the after show. We're going to answer some of your mailbag questions, and we're going to ask Jeff and DQ what their thoughts are on some of these topics. It's going to be fascinating. So stick around for the after show, Patreons. Thank you. Have a great week.
Have a great week, everyone.
You've been listening to Prepping 2.0 with authors Glenn Tate and Shelby Gallagher. All the information you've heard today, including all our previous shows, is online at prepping2-0.com. Find out more about Glenn's books at 299days.com and Shelby's books at agreatstate.com. Until next time, be smart, be safe, and be prepared.